Reforms in Diet. Quote, the true science of education, close quote, gives the student a knowledge of the laws governing his body and a love for those laws. Every Christian school should give its students a knowledge of the proper diet, proper clothing, and should acquaint him with those phases of life that make a successful missionary. A wave of reform in the matters of diet, clothing, and other important health principles swept over the country, and many educational reformers endeavored to introduce these practical subjects into their schools. The Spirit of God was preparing them for the crucial test in 1844. Quote, among the studies selected for childhood, physiology should occupy the first place, close quote. Ellen G. White, The Health Reformer, August 1, 1866, paragraph 4. Quote, it should be regarded as the basis of all educational effort, close quote. Ibid, November 1, 1871, paragraph 3. Quote, while the schools we have established have taken up the study of physiology, they have not taken hold with the decided energy they should. They have not practiced intelligently that which they have received in knowledge, close quote. Ellen G. White, Healthful Living, page 13, 1897. Quote, the health should be as sacredly guarded as the character, close quote. Ellen G. White, Christian Education, page 184. The founders of Oberlin, moved by the spirit of reform, said, quote, that we may have time and health for the Lord's service, we will eat only plain and wholesome food, renouncing all bad habits, and especially the smoking and chewing of tobacco, unless it is necessary as a medicine, and deny ourselves all the strong and unnecessary drinks, even tea and coffee, as far as practicable, and everything expensive that is simply calculated to gratify appetite. Close quote. The Story of Oberlin, page 86. In 1832, Mr. Sylvester Graham, the inventor of Graham flour, quote, began to call men to repent of the sins of the table. According to this classical authority, vegetables and fruit should constitute the substance of every meal and should be eaten as nearly as may be in their natural state. Bread should be made of unbolted wheat flour, that being the natural condition, though rye and Indian are allowable if unbolted. Likewise, rice and sago, if plainly cooked. Good cream may be used instead of butter, though milk and honey are somewhat better. Flesh meat and fish in all forms had better be banished from the table. No fat or gravies are to be tasted, nor any liquid foods like soup and broth. Pastry is an abomination, and cakes in which any fat or butter has been used. Bread should be at least 12 hours from the oven, and 24 hours are better. And as for condiments, pepper, mustard, oil, vinegar, etc., and stimulants like tea and coffee, they are to be by all means eschewed as deadly foes to health. Close quote. Ibid, pages 218 and 219. Professors Shippard and Finney of Oberlin both confessed to being restored to health through the Graham diet reform. Quote, the Oberlin pulpit became aggressively Grahamite. The boarding department of the school was placed in charge of a disciple of Graham. Tea and coffee were not introduced into the college boarding hall until 1842, possibly a little later. Many of the families discarded tea and coffee, and a few adopted the vegetarian diet. Close quote. Concerning the vegetarian diet, we read, quote, for 2 or 3 years longer, the students were furnished at the hall with Graham fare. They were not restricted to this. A table was still set for those who preferred a different diet. Close quote. Oberlin, The Colony and the College, page 83. Diet reform in other schools. Oberlin was not alone in these reforms. Quote, in Williams College, an association was formed in 1831 comprising the majority of the students with board based upon the principles of abstinence from tea and coffee and the use only of food, the simplest in every respect. The same reform was recorded in the history of Hudson College. Close quote. In Lane Seminary, quote, it was the wish of the students to dispense with tea, coffee, and all luxuries, and to live on the principles of Christian simplicity and economy. In Danville, Kentucky, and Maryville College, Tennessee, it was the same, because we wish our ministers free from dyspepsia and liver complaint. Close quote. Oberlin's historian writes that, quote, the company was large that used neither flesh nor fish, neither butter nor milk, neither tea nor coffee. Close quote. The Story of Oberlin, pages 222 and 223. Horace Mann said, quote, we must pay far more attention to the health of the students, not only by teaching the physiological laws of health, but by training students to an habitual obedience to them. Solomon does not say, teach a child the way that he should go, but he says, train him, which means that the child shall be required to do the thing himself, and to repeat it again and again, and 10 times again, until it becomes a habit. Close quote. George C. Mann, Life and Works of Horace Mann, Volume 5, 1891, page 415. Mr. Mann says further, quote, as physical exercise enters so largely into the means of securing health, it is certain that no college can ever maintain a general condition of high health among its students unless they spend some hours every day in muscular effort. Hence, the faculty of Antioch College requires exercise of its students every day. We encourage manual labor in every practicable way, and if a liberal public or a liberal individual would give us land for agricultural or even for horticultural purposes, we promise them that the old injunction to till the ground and dress it shall not be forgotten. Close quote. Ibid, pages 415 and 416. One will look far for a writer with a clearer grasp of the health principles as taught by the Word of God. After describing the increase of disease in the world because of the departure of man from God's original plan, Mr. Mann says, quote, it comes solely because man will break heaven's laws, because for the sake of money or for pride, disease will marry disease, because when God commanded Adam to work, that is, to take some form of exercise in the garden, that is, in the open air, men will not exercise and will live in dwellings which add artificial poisons to natural ones and then breathe the virulent compound. Close quote. Ibid, page 341. If health reform must be taught by Seventh-day Adventist ministers and teachers and understood and practiced by all who will triumph in the loud cry, we are forced to conclude that the Lord was giving the Protestant churches, through their schools, this health reform light because it was as necessary for them to understand and practice it before the midnight cry as for us before the loud cry. We are forced also to conclude that their failure to live up to the light on health reform unfitted them to appreciate and accept other light. So it is extremely dangerous for students now to carelessly relate themselves to this reform.